This podcast is brought to you by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the south on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on the freshfm.co.nz app. Hi everyone, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
I'm Nicolie.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to be talking about, I guess, security in our home countries in comparison to New Zealand. And like how safe we feel. Do we want to start by talking about where we're from?
I'm from Sri Lanka.
I'm from Latin America.
And I'm from Jamaica and lived in Samoa. So I feel like you have quite a lot to talk about, Amanda, being from Latin America.
Okay. So I think Brazil and Chile were the two places where I felt more like in danger, I guess I'll just say. Like I have a lot of stories about what happened, but before I like talk about the stories, I think it's a bit of a cultural thing because my parents, they're like the exact same, and same with like everyone in my family. Like they're all like protective about like the same things. And, you know, like coming here to New Zealand now, it's like, I remember when I first got here, some friends that I had known for like a week or so, they were like, oh, do you want to come to my house for a sleepover? It's like, I can't. And they were like, why? Like, we've been friends for like a week. Like, that's long enough, right? It's like, I can't. You know, like my parents don't know your parents. They could be weirdos. You know?
Do you think that's more of a thing because you're a girl as well?
Yes. Yeah. But then again, they usually don't, like, put that on my brother as much as me. It's like a mix.
Yeah. I think that, especially the girl thing, in Samoa, they have, it's like an unspoken rule, but, like, girls don't walk around the streets by themselves. Like, they always have chaperones. And so, like, if we were going to go to a night market and it was, like, a youth thing, someone's older brother would always be with us, like, the whole night, you know? I never, not once, walked around the streets of Apia alone. And then that was like when I came here, and then my friends were like, we're just going to hang out in town with like no adults. And I was just like, we're going to what? Was that the same for you?
Yeah, I would like, you know, what was like crazy was like people walking to school by themselves, like little kids, like crossing the street and stuff. And I was like, whoa.
Like tiny kids.
Yeah, like so little. And it's like them crossing the road by themselves. And I'm like, wow.
Another thing in Samoa is there's a really big dog issue, like wild dogs on the streets. You guys have that too? So it was like, even though my school, it was literally less than a 2 minute walk from my house. Like it was so close, basically on the same road. I couldn't even walk to school because like the dogs would attack me and eat me.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, like That's it was scary. So scary. And so no one walked anywhere. Like even though Samoa, not many people are really wealthy, everyone has cars. It's like top priority, because if you don't, you're going to get attacked. And so I think that was like another thing about safety was like when I would go to the dog beach here, I would just be like, there's dogs everywhere. Like I'm going to be murdered. And then they're all like well-trained and on leads. That's another big thing about safety. Do you want to tell us some of your stories?
Yes. So it's a bit of a sad one. I'm going to start with something that happened in Brazil. Some kids did take the bus alone sometimes. So this one girl who I kind of knew in my class, she had taken the bus, and I didn't really understand fully what had happened, but I did realize something was wrong because everybody started posting, like, on social media, have you seen this girl? And, you know, like, that never happens in Nelson, or, like, once in a rare, like... Like, it never... It's so unheard of, like, New Zealand, kind of, I think. But it was, like, very scary, like, she was my age.
Yeah, someone's missing, it's like...
And so I was like, well, what happened to her? And then they had found her, like, in a field alone. And it's, like, it's so scary. But it's, like, normal in Brazil, you know?
Like, people getting kidnapped and stuff. That's, like, you couldn't even imagine something like that happening here. Wow.
Scary.
And, like, the people were, like, used to it, kind of,
That's crazy. What about in Sri Lanka? Is there a lot of, like, kidnaps and human trafficking kind of stuff?
Not really those sort of things, I think. But then it's more like this, like, product, like, you know how in New Zealand you have, like, safety protocols for, like, everything? Like, you have fire exits, and then you have, like, you do stuff in school, like, lockdown, you do stuff like that. And then in Sri Lanka, there's not much like that, you know, like...
Yeah, practices.
Yeah, practice, yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm. In Samoa, natural disasters is also a part of safety. Yeah. There's a lot of... fear around tsunamis in Samoa because in 2009 there was a really big one.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge thing. And there's always tsunami warnings and people take that so seriously. Like, I remember in school a lot of the time and they have these big sirens that go off when they think there's about to be a tsunami.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really scary. Because, like, I feel like you can't imagine anything worse than that, you know?
Yeah.
You said you had a story about, like, someone that broke into your house?
Oh, that was in Jamaica. So, as well as growing up in Samoa, I'm also from Jamaica. And I hadn't been there until 2024 when I went with my family. That was the first time. And I think the reason why my parents had, like, kept me away was because, like a lot of Latin American countries, Jamaica is not a very safe place, you know? There's people with guns and there's big drug cartels that kind of, like, underground run the country kind of a thing. And so I think my parents were just really nervous to take us there, especially because, like, we're Jamaican, but, like, the Jamaicans know we're not Jamaican, you know?
Yeah.
And so when we went there, my parents were just really overprotective. And, like, the family we were staying with the whole time, they were like, just be safe, you know?
Yeah.
And we were staying in this Airbnb in Montego Bay. And I was asleep with my aunt. This is actually so scary. So it was like there was a security gate and everything. And it was like one of those houses where there's lots of other houses that are the same, like all lined up. So it was like modern and like safe.
Yeah.
Well, we thought. So I was like sleeping with my aunt. And then I was in one room and my parents were in another room and we were on the top story and there was a balcony. And then I woke up and there was like a man like banging on my window on the balcony. Like he had climbed up the railing and gone onto the balcony.
That's
and then
so scary.
So scary. And then like he had climbed into the balcony, opened the door and walked into my parents' room. And then my mom woke up and he was like standing over her with a lighter. No. And my mom was like, holy. And then my dad like got up and got him out. And then
that's
like
crazy.
But the thing that gagged me was like this was in the middle of the night, but my parents called the police and the police didn't even come. They were like, like they thought it was nothing, like just a someone breaking in, like that's not that big of a deal because it happens every day, you know?
So often.
And then another thing was when we told the people who own the Airbnb, they were like, oh, we have security buttons in the house, like you should have pressed it, because in the houses they have built in like emergency buttons that immediately call police because it's so common that people are breaking in, killing people with guns and stuff, that that's just in every house.
Yeah, that's just,
which is like kind of horrifying, you know, when you really think about
it. Scary.
Yeah. And like another thing that was like a big culture shock going there was like police had guns. I don't know if that was like, for me, I had never really seen people with actual guns just like walking around, you know? But I remember we were in the car driving places and just police doing like checks on this like highways and stuff had these giant rifles and I was like, guys, I'm gonna get shot, like this is so aggressive and crazy. But you know, like that's really kind of a horrifying thing, like government people walking around with
guns
like things that could kill you. I'm really grateful that we don't have that in New Zealand.
Yeah
Is that the same for you in Brazil, like
actually I remember my friend from Brazil, who he lived like very close to town. My family and I, we would like sometimes go out for dinner and like we'd have dinner or lunch at like the restaurants in like the main town.
Yeah.
And we would go like sometimes, but then it was not a very safe space.
Yeah.
Like sometimes there would be like guns, like what you said. And I remember like my family would be thinking like, oh, maybe we should go out for dinner. And then I would text my friend and be like, oh, hey, I might see you because we're going out for dinner. Like, and he's usually around town. And he's like, don't come. I was like, why? And he's like, check on social media. Like, someone just got killed. There's been like a shooting here, and there's like police everywhere. It's like, don't come. It's not safe.
Oh my god.
And it's like, what? Like that doesn't.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a normal thing that you're just like, oh, there's been a shooting.
There's been a shooting.
And it's so sad, and it was like scary, and like I had to tell my parents like, hey, so we can't go. Yeah. And no, it was like weird. It was like. What?
Yeah, that's just like a normal thing. I feel like that's something you really can't wrap your head around because we're in such a safe country in New Zealand, you know?
Exactly.
Like, as we were saying, kids just walk around the streets by themselves. There's no like ghetto areas or like favelas, you know? It's like a safe country. And I think that's just like so scary to think about how even in like where we were staying in Montego Bay, it was like in the city. Like there was people everywhere and they just don't care.
Yeah,
like crime is just everywhere.
It's crazy how like people just get used to it because it happens so often.
Yeah, it's like something people shouldn't be used to.
It's too normalized.
Way too normal. Like I feel like violence as a whole is so overly normalized and it's like so heartbreaking. Are there any things you feel like because you lived there you like have brought to New Zealand, like those expectations? Or
do you have anything?
Do you know what I mean? Like any like things you used to do to keep yourself safe in Sri Lanka and now you don't really need it, but it's just ingrained into your mind. And so you don't think so?
I can't think of any right now.
I think my parents did a pretty good job in like protecting me kind of through that. So yes and then no. Like I didn't really live through anything. Thank God. Like luckily I didn't live through anything traumatic. But my parents did like make sure I was aware of the danger and stuff. And you know how when we just started talking about this, you said like the, because I'm a girl, maybe they're a little bit more protective. My mom didn't let me wear makeup to school in Brazil because in case it would make me look like a little bit more older, there would be sometimes some like creepy guys lurking around. I feel like that type of stuff, my parents kind of made me aware about. I do bring it here now. And it's like every time I'm in like a situation which is rare, you know, like it's such a safe place. But it's like, I do think like if I was in Brazil right now or in Chile, like this would be dangerous.
Yeah.
And I mean, like stuff still happens in New Zealand for sure. I think it's just like that's being aware of it and like, knowing how to look after yourself
like
is really important.
Yourself,
definitely. In terms of safety, like things that I picked up, I'm not really sure. Just like always being aware of what you've got because people could steal it.
Yes.
That's like a big thing. Like knowing what's in your hand and like zipping up your bag before you walk out and
just go past you.
Yeah, snatch everything. I think that was something like a big thing. My mom was always like, be careful. Someone could steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have kind of like a story on that.
Mm-hmm.
For my birthday last year, my grandma gave me this like very pretty gold necklace. Like I think real gold. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a little heart. I couldn't wear that like the whole year last year because I think that happened to my mom actually, or like people just, they see it. Snatch it off your neck and it would hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Because here, like, you could see someone walking around with, like,
a diamond ring.
Exactly. And no one's going to grab it. It's just, it's like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But there it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, so sad. Like, there are people living in such unsafe environments, you know? And I feel like that's the best thing about traveling. And, like, for us living overseas is, like, you see how lucky you are here to be in New Zealand and like to have that safety and to be able to walk down the street and not be scared that someone's going to shoot you, you know? It's like such a thing that I feel people take for granted. And, you know, there's always extremes. Like we're talking about how unsafe it is for us, but then think about like our Chin communities and stuff who like literally live through war.
Oh,
it's like,
it's so sad.
It's so sad. And it's just like, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are. Okay, Amanda, do you want to introduce the song?
Yes. So the song is called Ella Baila Sola, and it's by Eslabón Armado and Peso Pluma.
Okay, we'll be back soon. Bye.
ropa. ¿Qué le parece esa morra? La que anda bailando sola. Me gusta pa' mí. Bella, ella sabe que está buena. Que todos andan mirándola como baila. Me acerco y le tiro todo un verbo. Tomamos tragos sin pero, solo tentación. Le dije, voy a conquistar tu familia. Que en unos días vas a ser mía. Me dijo que estoy muy loco, pero le gusta que ningún vato como yo actúa.
¿Y este va, mija? Y por la doble P, viejo.
Así nomás, compa Pedro, puro eslabón armado. A las plebitas. No soy un vato que tiene varo, pero hablando del corazón te cumplo todo.
Me agarro pegadito de su mano. Mi compa ni se la creyó, que al pasar fui yo.
Su cuerpo, juro por Dios que era tan perfecta. Son cinturita como modelo.
Sus ojos, desde el principio me enamoraron. A ella le gusto y a mí me gusta.
Welcome back to That's Mint. You just listened to Ella Baila Sola by Peso Pluma and Eslabón Armado.
We've just been talking about safety in our homes and I guess violence and crime. But I think another huge part about safety that we didn't really touch on too much was natural disasters and like how we stay safe from things like earthquakes, cyclones, etc. Have you guys ever been in any natural disasters?
No, except for like earthquakes in New Zealand, but that's about it.
Oh, we do get quite a lot of earthquakes in New Zealand, actually.
Yeah. Do you have any from when you were abroad?
In Brazil, not so much. In Australia, we did have this one natural disaster where we would get a lot of bushfires, which is...
That's so scary.
Unfortunately, it was very common, like almost all the time on the news, because my parents watch the news a lot. You'd see like bushfire today, bushfire, like it was very, very common. Mm-hmm. And one time it happened very close to my school.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember exactly what happened, but I do remember everything. Like there was dirt flying everywhere. The sky looked like orange. It was scary. And we all had to go. It was after school, which was even worse because it's
not in school either.
Yeah, it's like they can't really tell us to stay in school if it's after school. Because I went to a after school program, and I remember running to my after school because I had been outside like with this wind and it was chaotic.
Yeah.
And then I remember running back, and then my friend was crying because her sister had asthma and she didn't know where she was.
Oh my gosh!
No one was harmed. It was like, it was very quick. It was like, and then it was gone. But it was scary, you know, like
that's a really traumatic
not
thing.
Not common here.
Yeah, something that never happens.
Mm. What about you, Imogen?
I've experienced quite a few natural disasters on that little island in Samoa. The first one was a big cyclone. It hit New Zealand to Cyclone Gita in 2019, I think. But it was really bad in Samoa. And my dad, he traveled a lot when we lived there for his work. So he wasn't actually there at the time when the cyclone hit. That was so scary. It lasted about 2 days. And I think for a week there was no power and no water on the island.
Really?
Yeah. And there was flooding in my house was on stilts, luckily, so there was no water in my house, but like all of our washing like room got flooded, and then we had this giant like brick wall that went against like this church, and the whole wall, I remember I was like, we all lay in the living room on mattresses, and there was like we just had torches everywhere. And I just remember hearing it like smashing down.
That's so scary. Yeah,
it was so scary. And then basically the whole island was destroyed. It was really horrible.
Oh.
It took a lot to fix it. And then another huge natural disaster I think of.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't actually affect us that much, but in 2023, I'm pretty sure, there was the earth... There was the volcanic eruption that happened in Tonga. It was an underground volcanic eruption. Yeah. It happened in the ocean. But I remember we were at this resort in Samoa, and it was like all my friends were there, and we were playing hide and seek, and we could just hear like these big booms. And we were like, what is that? Like, you know when you can hear an earthquake?
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like that almost. Mm. And then we realized that it was, we could hear the volcanic eruption from like a whole nother country. And my friend, they were on the phone with their family in Fiji, and their family in Fiji could also hear the same sound, like the volcano erupting.
That's crazy, yeah.
And then everyone thought there was going to be a tsunami. And so everyone freaked out. And I remember you heard the sound, and then it was just like storm clouds came over us like immediately. But the scary thing was my sister and my dad were actually surfing at that time, and they were on the reef when it happened. And my sister said the ocean like changed and like the direction moved, and it like went out, and she was so scared. But they were on the other side of the country, so they had to drive around to pick us up, and it was like midnight, and everyone thought that there was like gonna be a tsunami coming any second, and we were all gonna thank God there was no tsunami. But that was so traumatic. And I think like for Samoa, basically, the whole country is just built around the coast.
Yeah.
And so, like, things like tsunamis have such big impacts because there's nowhere to hide, really, you know? And so I think, we take that safety for granted a lot here, too. Yeah.
Do you think that because it was kind of, like, normal, I guess, or what was the word you used? Like,
I mean, a volcanic eruption. That's
the tsunami.
Tsunamis, yeah, I think that they are kind of normalized, but there's a lot of fear around them because nearly everyone I know had someone that has died in a tsunami.
Really?
Yeah, so I think people are really scared, like really scared of what they are and like what could happen. People understand that that means people die, you know?
How do you think, like, did your school, like, prepare you for that in case it happened during school?
Well, I lived, actually, so my school, it was affected by the tsunami that hit in 2009 and a student died. So the school moved into the hills. So I lived in the hills and my school was also up there. So a tsunami wouldn't have actually affected us, but for my school camp in year 9, we were, in year 8, we were going to do... We were going to go to the beach, and then there was tsunami warnings. And so obviously we couldn't go to the beach, so we stayed in like a retirement village on a hill, which is so fun. But like those are the little things that we have to sacrifice, you know, because it's not safe.
Yeah.
And you have to like look out for yourselves. Yeah.
I feel like Australia did a like pretty good job like protecting us, kind of like
educating.
We had lockdown drills. They were very good. It was pretty similar to New Zealand. And I don't think we didn't probably do a tsunami drill not once in Brazil. And I don't think it's... Oh, earthquakes are pretty common in Chile. But what do you think, like, hearing our stories kind of, or like how we get prepared for that, how do you think it is compared to New Zealand?
New Zealand? Like how your countries prepare for it?
Well, yeah, like
do you think there's a lot of education around it? I feel like there kind of is in like schools.
Yeah.
We kind of like you said, we have our drills.
Yeah, like the earthquake drill, like, what is it?
Yeah,
fire drills. I feel like that's quite good. We never had anything like that in the Samoan schools.
Yeah, I don't think we have that in Sri Lanka either. Like,
yeah, you just gotta watch out.
You just gotta watch out.
And I feel like natural disasters, like, they're such horrible things. Look at what's happening in Venezuela right now. And it's just like, I don't know. It's unpreventable. Yeah. It's not like you can blame the people or the government or the economy. Like, it's just
it's
the
natural. Environment. You can't, can't do anything.
The universe's will. Yeah. And so I feel like that's kind of scary and a hard way for countries to like look out for themselves.
I watched this on news on it happened in Sri Lanka. There was like this big rock, and then there was like a little like shop down. And then, like, the government had told the people to, like, move their shop because the rock could, like, fall down. Mm. And then it actually ended up falling down. Yeah,
and they didn't move?
No, they didn't move. No. And then, like, there was, like, so many people that passed away. Yeah, it was really
sad. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, like, they should have listened to the, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because they did give up.
And I feel like that's. Yeah, like, the environment that you live in. If you live in a really mountainous place, you know. You have to watch out and be careful.
I like what you said, that, like, the you kind of government can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Because it's the environment, you know.
Mm.
But they can, I guess, help out, like, kind of shifting topics. They can help out if someone has an accident.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How quick can the hospitals, like.
How do they respond?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, and the police and stuff.
Do you remember what it was like in Samoa? Like, the hospitals and.
Yeah, we have a not great health system there and also police system. So I think that's a big flaw. And I think that's a lot of like low economic countries, like what's happening in Venezuela. It's like the government cannot respond to the like mass life lost or like cannot support their people. And so it kind of like that's where the flaw is. Mm. It's how they can react and how quick they can react.
Yeah.
And I think. For healthcare systems, especially.
I feel like in New Zealand, the healthcare isn't that great either, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Like, if you go to, like, the emergency department, you would have to wait, like,
so long.
Quite a few hours, you know, just to get in. And then I remember I had a, like, I had really bad stomachaches, and I went to the hospital, and I was just there for, like, freaking 5 hours.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. That's
yeah.
so true.
Me too. Yeah.
My mom, she went to the hospital recently and she was there until like 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's, that's kind of the thing, you know, like bad things happen, but it's how well the economy is set up to support those people when the bad things actually do end up happening, you know?
Yeah.
Like you were saying, when there was the shooting in Brazil, your friend said there were police there and everything. It's like, how quick do they get there and like how well do they manage the situation?
Yeah.
I have something kind of like to comment about like Chile health emergency system and then New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then I
kind
of want to hear your thoughts about it because it's a bit of a debate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here the system works where there's an emergency room.
Yeah.
Everyone goes and then they kind of like depending on your pain put you in. If you're like screaming, crying, like, oh, me. I remember my appendicitis was like bad and my dad carried me to the emergency room when I got my appendicitis because I was like, ugh. And then like he carried me and then I was straight away in the hospital, like first one getting attended. And then I remember like a few years after that, I sprained my thumb. And I was, like, there, like, just with my thumb because, you know, like, it hurts, but I'm not screaming.
Yeah.
And I had to wait there for, like, 10 hours. Like, it was...
Wow.
I was probably my whole day spent waiting
because
it was just my thumb. And I remember, like, my dad was just like, come on, start crying.
Just start crying.
But that works so that the people who need it most
get it
first. In Chile, it doesn't really work like that. It's... an emergency room, but the people who have the most money get it first, you know? So if you're like, hey,
it's corrupt.
She broke her thumb, take and put her in there, you know? And then the people who are poor and they could be in pain, it's like,
they have to
wait.
So then it's like, because it's so annoying. Like, you could be in pain here and you need help, but it's like,
you're not wealthy enough.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that?
I think that's a really big thing is corruption in countries. I was going to actually mention that in the other way of like police being corrupt, but you're right. It's like supporting the wealthy. It's really hard. And I think that's like, especially for safety, that's like what we were saying with favelas, you know, it's like, it's always the people who are poor and are living in like low economic places that suffer the hardest from safety.
Yeah.
They're like in unsafe environments, and I think maybe it's like the lack of wealth gap, or like how much wealth gap is in a country that shows how unsafe it is. I'm not sure, but I think just to like finish it off, we should be really grateful to be in a country where we don't have to be like scared all the time, like so many people in the world are right now. And we're just so lucky and fortunate for that, definitely. Do you guys want to say anything else before we go?
No?
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you guys have a good rest of your day.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Other great local podcasts are available through our website, freshfm.co.nz.